As we discussed yesterday, Parshas Bechukesai opens with all kinds of promises. Promises of divine blessings of goodness. And God promises a bountiful harvest. And God promises peace in the land. And the promises continue into what is usually the third reading. Today it's the fifth reading because of our conjoined Parshias. Chapter 26. Verse 10. The Torah says, "Va'achaltem yoshon noishon." You'll eat the old grain. The yoshon mitnei chodesh teitziu, and the old grain will have to be removed to fit the new grain in. So basically, Rashi tells us, "Haperes yiyu mishtamrim v'toivim lehityashen," that which you harvest will not go bad. It'll be good to hold on to. It'll age well. And not only that it'll be good or still edible, but to the point you would even choose to eat the old stuff. That's how good it's going to be. Even more than the year before. So we talked about this earlier, that when the Shemitah will come, you have to have a bumper crop in the sixth year that can cover the sixth year and the seventh year and the eighth year. And here we're hearing that it's going to be such a good crop that people won't even care. They'll be happy to eat that. V'yosham b'nei chodesh teitziyu, says Rashi, sheyiyu hagronos, that the areas, the storage area, or granary area, which usually serves to gather together the various harvests and grain, will be meleis chodesh, will be full with new harvest, va'itzareis meleis yashan, and the actual storehouses will be filled with the old grain. So you have storehouses that are full, threshing grounds that are heaping, and you'll have to empty tzrichamata lefana sa'itzareis l'makem acher. You'll have to empty the storage house. Why? Because you don't have the storage area where you're going to put all the new stuff. You have all this new grain on the threshing floor that's waiting to be put into the silos, and the silos are full already. So you have to, that's the meaning of Mpnei Chodesh Tetziu, that you're going to have to take out the old grain in order to make room for the new grain. This is pretty good. In fact, it's amazing. This is an amazing blessing. And Hashem says, V'nasati mishkani b'seichachem. I will place my mishkan, which is a permutation of the word Shechina, literally means my sanctuary, but me, my presence will dwell amongst you. V'leisigal nafshi eschem. I will not become disgusted or tired of you. So, you know, sometimes people say, you're tired of the same relationship. You're looking for a new relationship. You're looking for pizzazz and excitement. How long could you be married for? 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 500 years? God says, let me find a new people. Enough already. No, chas v'shalom, Hashem says, I'll never get tired of you. I'll always love you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to sleep, little girl? V'nasati mishkani, this is Sarashi says, mishkani zeh beis hamikdash. This is the beis hamikdash that the Jewish people will build when they come into the land of Israel. It's not referring to the mishkan, which is built by Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, but rather this is referring to the actual beis hamikdash. That's why even though it says mishkani, which is a permutation of mishkan, really it means mikdash. And that's the glorious future of the Jewish people, which is only realized in the days of King Solomon. V'le sigal nafshi, Rashi says, ein ruchi kotzeh bachem. My spirit does not become tired of you or repulsive. Kol Gi'ila, Rashi says, the word Gi'ila, whatever you find it in the scriptural context, is L'shem Pleitas Dovar HaBalua. It means to expel something which has been absorbed in Bedover and something else. Kisham Nigal Magin Gibedim. For example, in the book of Shmuel, it says that the shields were heavily covered with like a thick layer of a sheen or a thick layer of fat. And what happened is that these shields are made of leather. However, it was so smooth that it could even deflect arrows. So the point is it couldn't absorb anything. It's like the original concept of Teflon, only it was made of tallow. And the point over there is like Kibbel HaMashicha, that it wasn't receiving the covering, the gloss that was applied to it. Moishchim Mogen Shal Ar B'Chelev, they used to cover or kind of oil a leather shield that was stretched over a frame with Chelev Mavushal, with cooked tallow. And the reason was because they lahachlek me'alav, in order to smooth from it, makas chetz oichanis, the blunt force of an arrow or of a spear that was thrown, these were so smooth that when something's thrown at a great velocity, if it didn't hit it at the right angle, it was actually able to deflect it. So the value is that you have a metal shield that's very heavy, and the warrior can't move around. Here you had something which was a very light wood, which was very thin leather, it was stretched, but it was so smooth, it was able to serve protection, and people were able to do battle. Anyway, Rashi just trying to point out to you that the idea of Le'sigal is, over there, the point is it wasn't receiving or accepting the tallow covering. And God says, V'salachti b'seichachem, I will walk amongst you. V'hayisi lachem le'elekim, I'll be for you as a God. V'atem t'il lilam, I'm your God, you're my nation. This is a beautiful, idyllic, almost like spiritually romantic description of us, the Jewish people, and our beloved Hashem. And everything's great. It's amazing. And the Torah goes on to say in verse 13, Ani Hashem Olekechem, I am the Lord God, Asher Etzesi Eschem, Eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt, Mihiyeis Lahem Avadim, from being their slaves, Ve'eshber Moitais Ulchem, I broke the crossbars of your yoke, Ve'eilech Eschem Kememiyus, and I made you walk upright. So when you learn Rashi, it seems this is past tense. This is what happened, because Rashi simply says that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kedai Ani Shetaminu Bi. You can trust me. I'm like I have, so to speak, good credit. Like you, if I say I'll do something, I'm going to do it. And why is that? Because we have past precedent established. Shani Yochel Ases Kol Eila, I can do. Harei Tzeisi Eschem Me'Eretz Mitzrayim. I took you, after all, out of Egypt. Ve'asisi Lochem Nisim Gedolim. I did do great and wondrous miracles for you. So if I did these wondrous miracles for you, I did these great things for you, it's not unreasonable. God says, you should trust me. I can do this. I will take care of you. Everything will work out. Now, from the fact that Rashi kind of couches that way, it seems that Rashi is talking about verse 13 in the past tense. Well, in the beginning for sure is, Hitzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi continues. He says, Moites. He doesn't change the tense. He doesn't say this, the rest is futuristic. He says, Moites is Kimin Yosed. That's like a wooden peg. V'shnei Rashi Ha'el, which would be inserted in the heads of the two kind of bars that would serve as your yoke. Hama'akvim ha'meseder, which kind of stop the what do you call it, meseder? Not a leash, you know, when you have it on a horse or on a cow. Rains. It kind of keep, it rains it in, it keeps it in. So that the cow doesn't free himself from the yoke, because you know the cow just wants to run on the wild beyond there. He wants to have fun. He wants to hang out in the meadows. He doesn't want to work hard. So what do? We yoke him up, and then he can't move. So these crossbars actually keep things in place, and they're very constricting. And we see this, for example, Rashi brings an example of Yirmiyahu. Asei lecha meseder sumaites. That there we have God's command to Yirmiyahu Anavi, and he says you should send to the nations who are under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, you should send them the yokes and the reins or straps of an animal, along with your words of prophecy. In other words, this will be like the show and tell. You'll send them the words of prophecy. The words of prophecy will be you should accept his yoke, and you actually sent the yoke along with it. And the yoke was a very graphic description. Here's what God's looking for from you. At any rate, it's not a comfortable thing. So Rashi doesn't tell us this is future. He seems to indicate this is all one continuation. This is one hemshech. This is one continuation of the verse, the beginning of the verse, which speaks about going out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, I broke the crossbars of your yokes. The Egyptians yoked you. They tied you in. They kind of put you in a position where you were not happy and free. And I broke those things. You could go to sleep. So that's the big promise, and really, my dear friends, at this point, it ends. This is where it ends. Verse 14 is where the negative stuff starts. Verse 14 is, If you will not listen to me, oh, it's not going to be good. You won't listen to all my mitzvahs. So if you will become disgusted of my statutes and say this is old-fashioned, we want something new and exciting. If mishpati tigol, if you will repel, if you'll reject my ordinances. You won't do all my mitzvahs. Lahafrechem is brisi. You will abrogate my covenant. Oh, well, in that case, afani esezeis lachem. And the rest, the ensuing part of this aliyah is all about negativity. All the terrible curses, the techacha, which we invariably will always read before Shavuot to keep us on the straight and narrow, in as joyous and happy times come. And then, of course, we have an interruption in between. You get Bamidbar right before to kind of remove the sharpness of the effect. So it's very interesting to note, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that the entirety of the parsha, which heralds all the blessings, starts with which Hebrew letter? Im b'chukai se telechu. Im is which Hebrew letter?
Aleph.
Im b'chukai se. And the blessings end here, 13 verses later, with the word kome miyut. So it ends with the letter tav. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says that im b'chukai se starts with aleph, ends with a tav, to show you that you have all the blessings from aleph to tav, the whole range of blessing, everything will be coming. In other words, even things that were not spoken about in these 13 verses will come your way. Everything, every possible blessing you will receive. But that's as long as you do what the Eibishter wants. If you don't do what the Eibishter wants, then things are not good. Yeah. Put that inside your mouth. There you go. So this business of Be'eshber Mertis Ulchem and the notion that Hashem says, I'll break crossbars and you'll be walking upright, it's not so simple that it refers to the past. In fact, there is a significant amount of valid literature that indicates that this is a description of the messianic future. And I want to devote the balance of this morning's class to talk about not as in the past, not as Hashem demonstrating, here's what I did, so I can do this, but rather this is the climax of Hashem's blessings. The climax of doing everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is Oilech Eschem Kememiyos, that I will walk you upright. Please join us on page Tuf Yud Beis in the Birim book. And here we are going to see an excerpt of the Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra, page Ayin Hei, page 75a. And we're going to take a look at the commentary of the Bal HaTurim and see how that squares. And then the Rebbe is going to analyze all this and give us really a wondrous understanding of how things will be, Bezrat Hashem, in the future when Mashiach will come, at least conceptually and spiritually.
Page?
Tuf Yud Beis. So Tuf is 400, Yud Beis is 12. It'd be the equivalent to page 412. Va'oilech eschem kememiyus. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Rabbi Meir Eimer, kememiyus means Mosayim Amma. Get this. When Mashiach comes, we'll all be 200 Amas tall. Talk about walking tall. 200 Amas tall.
What's an Amas?
An Amas is 18 inches.
Still pretty tall.
It's pretty tall.
Especially for Jewish people.
Maybe pretty tall. That's going to be kishtei koimer. It's like two stories high. Super stories. And this will be called Adam Arishon. That's how big Adam Arishon was. So when you talk about Adam Arishon traversing the entirety of Earth, walking back and forth during the course of his lifetime and living in every place and walking in every place, it was a little easier for Adam Arishon to walk around Earth than it is for us because he was presumably a much larger man. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. That's ridiculous. 200 amas? Mea amma. 100 amma. Only 150 feet tall. That's all. Not 200 amas tall. There's other opinions, by the way. It gets even higher. But this is the basic opinions the Gemara brings. The Bal HaTurim says on these words, Koimimius, he says, if you look at the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, there are beis tagim al hakuf. There are two little crowns on the kuf. You know what a Torah crown looks like? It's like a hairline projectile going up with a little dot on top. Right? So on the top of a shin, on the left side of the shin, there are three. On the left side of the tzaddik, there are three. On the left side of a gimel, there are three. On the top of the gimel, there are three. Right? But then on occasion, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there'll be just random letters in the Torah, or it looks random to us, where suddenly tagim appear. And Rabbi Akiva was doidish tagim. Rabbi Akiva would look at those tagim and he would see like oodles of halacha, like spilling off the tag. He would be able to understand why this does have a tag or doesn't have a tag. As we say famously, Rabbi Kiva, he had Danish tagim. So the Balaturim, we don't know, by the way, what all the Tagim mean. Some we know, many we don't. The Balaturim, he said there are two Tagim on the Kuf of Koimimius. Now, Kuf usually does not have little Tagim, does not have little crowns. But on Kuf, there is two. And he says, that's Sha'asidin Liyes Koimasan Mea Amma. Mea Mea. That's because they're going to be, how tall when Mashiach comes?
200
Amma. Mea Amma. 100 Amma. Yeah. So since they're going to be 100 Amma, that's why you have to have the two little crowns. Ulaman, the Amr Masayim Amma. And according to the opinion that says, not 100 Ammas, but 200 Ammas, which is not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ah, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Lachach, that's why, Yeshba, Shnei Tagim. That's why it has two Tagim. So Koimimius, in other words, means very tall. And we have two Tagim on top of it. And he says, that's because we're going to be Me'ama. Oh, and by the way, there's two Tagim, because the opinion of Rabbi Meir is that we're going to be 200 Amas high. So what's the obvious question? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is it two Tagim? The Tag comes to indicate, read into this, don't take this word literally, there's something more going on here. And so two Tagim, okay, that kind of fits. But how does two Tagim address the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Why two Tagim to describe this extraordinary height of Mea Amma? One Tag, it would seem, should have been sufficient. Especially because the Baal Turim explains two Tagim for twice the height. We don't have an explanation. That's what the Baal Turim says. So the Rebbe asks, Das Rabbi Yehuda, which is the day of Harishayna, even though it's the second opinion in the Gemara, it's the first opinion that the Baal Turim brings, and presumably that's more like in accordance with the Halacha, because it says Rabbi Meir was very brilliant, but they were not Oymed al Seif Daita. They couldn't understand what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Yehuda, they appreciated his words, and usually the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why the Baal Turim brings Rabbi Yehuda first. But he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first opinion, Shekreima Sa'adam Tia Mea Amma Bilvad, that the height of a person is going to be just Mea Amma, Mahi Mashma Usam Shoshnea Tagim. Then what then is the meaning of the two Tagim, of the two crowns? V'yashleimar. So the Rebbe says, Shagam Rabbi Yehuda Maskim L'dayta Rabbi Meir. The Rebbe says an amazing chiddush. You hear about Rabbi Meir saying 200 Ammas, and Rabbi Yehuda saying 100 Ammas. The Rebbe says, really? No. You are tired. Really, he says, there's not an argument. Really, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda also says that we're going to be twice the height. That's Rabbi Yehuda. It's only that according to Rabbi Yehuda, twice the height is bepoil Mea Amma. Twice the height in reality becomes 100 Amma, whereas according to Rabbi Meir, twice the height. Excuse me one second. Okay. Twice the height is 200 Ammas. Which sounds like it makes no sense whatsoever. Rabbi Meir says 200 Ammas. Rabbi Yehuda says 100 Ammas. Rabbi says, no, don't worry. Really and truly, Rabbi Yehuda agrees and it's going to be 200. But he says 100. What's going on over here? So this is a hesber, this is an explanation according to the teachings of Chassidus. And I have to point out to you that when we talk about Medrash, we're not necessarily talking about literal realities. It does not mean that we are physically going to be 100 Ammas tall. This is a conceptual thing. Mikra is not yoytze midei pshutei. Scripture is always literal. The Medrash invokes many, many metaphors, and it uses metaphoric terminology. And the reason it does this is because it wants to convey ideas and messages. Not different than Yirmiyahu, who was told to bring, when he brought his prophecy, he was told to bring the show and tell, right? He brought along this idea, he brought the yokes, he brought the straps, right? Sending a message. The Medrash gives us very, very colorful imagery, and the Medrash is conveying messages to us, but as we said, not necessarily literal, and in fact, very often, necessarily not literal. For example, there's a Medrash that says that Pharaoh was one Amma tall, one Amma wide, and that his organ was also an Amma long, which sounds like R2 in like Star Wars or something. Sounds like some strange creature. Does that mean literally that Paro was an Amma tall and Amma wide, and he had an Amma projectile? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. So it would be reasonable to say he was probably a short guy, but it's also reasonable to say that this is a conceptual concept. Okay. So here is the explanation according to the teachings of Chassidus. Koimar shal mea ama. What does it mean to be 100 amas tall? Why would we even use that kind of euphemism? Why invoke that kind of parable? And the answer is that the idea of mea amas mesameles shleimusei haruchnis shal adam. This is symbolic of a person having a perfect reality. One's spiritual stature is exactly the way it's supposed to be. Nefesh ha'adam, koileles, eser koiches. The soul of a person includes 10 different soul faculties, 10 different soul powers. V'chasher ha'adam eved Hashem b'shleimus. When a person serves Hashem in a complete way, b'chol eser koichesav, with all of his 10 faculties, utilizing all of the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, b'chol eser... And he uses all of those 10 faculties properly, and he uses each one of them properly, when he uses each one of them fully, so we know that each of the 10 Eser Keiches are comprised of Eser Keiches. So if you take 10 and you multiply it by 10, then the spiritual stature of such a person would be 100 Amma. In other words, so assuming that an Amma is a measure, an Amma represents different measures of a person's gestalt, spiritual stature. So we say a person is 10 Ammas tall, that means a person uses his Chachma and his Bina and his Das, his Chesed, his Gvura, his Teferes, his Netzer, his Hay, you say the Machas. All these different faculties, different qualities, three of which are intellectual, three of which are emotional, three of which are emotional quasi-functional, and one of which is a great diffuser. So all of this, and a person marshals all of his ability, so then we say he's walking with all 10 keiches, he uses all 10 keiches, we could metaphorically say the person is 10 feet tall. It's a euphemism. It's 10 feet tall. This is a person who doesn't only use his mind, uses his heart, uses his ability, uses everything, uses his leadership qualities, etc. And then to say 100 feet tall means that each of the Eser Sfiris are fully developed, as we know that there's Chachma Sheba Chachma, and Bina Sheba Chachma, and Das Sheba Chachma, and Chesed Sheba Chachma, and Gvura Sheba Chachma, and so on and so forth, each and every one of them, just like we see in the Sfira Tomer, we count the Omer, we do seven times seven. We say each and every day represents a different idea. Like today is Hoyd Sheba Yisoy. V'zuya Siba, that's the reason that we speak about Adam Arishan as being Koymasa Imea Amma. We don't mean that Adam Arishan was necessarily 100 Amas tall. He's probably a much larger person than we, but not necessarily 100 Amas tall. It means he was Ha'adam Ha'Mushlam. It means that he was a perfect individual. Kifisha Nivra Idea Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way he was created by God, Adam Arishan was created, Yetzir Kappa, made, fashioned by the hands of Hashem himself. Adam was a perfect person. So that's the idea of Adam being Mea Amma. V'hamila kememius, and the word kememius is remezes lekach shela asad lavei shlei mezush or Mea Amma tia kfula. When it says, it doesn't say koma, it says komemiyut. Komemiyut means, this is a redundancy. It sounds like the same thing twice. There's a koma achas shleima, a full gestalt, a full picture is Mea Amma. Komemiyus is twice that. So it wouldn't be Mea Amma, instead it would be Masayim Amma. Avodas Hashem, what does that mean? What does it mean that it's twice? What does it mean we have a gestalt of a person, full Eser Sfiris, then we have twice? What does twice mean? So he says, Avodas Hashem kolel shnei drachim klali. When we serve Hashem, broadly speaking, there are two pathways. There's the Avodah of Tzadikim, the Avodah of the worldly righteous who serve Hashem in perfection, and then there's the Avodah of Tshuva. Tshuva means that a person who doesn't do everything right, a person who has to bounce back, a person who has to experience rehabilitation, people who walk in strange places, make mistakes, but ultimately rebound and serve Hashem, what's called Nezor Becheli Yater, with even greater force, with even greater power. So this Avedas Hashem, which is Koilel, these two different, very different kinds of Aveda, each one has a virtue vis-a-vis the other. You cannot say that one is necessarily better. You can say that both are different. And we know that b'makim shabalei tshuva imdim, in the place the balei tshuva are able to stand, ain't tzadikim gemurim yechelim lamed. So yagiyu shtei avodes l'deshleimus maleya. What we are saying here is that both methodologies, both pathways, both dimensions will be fully developed and perfectly calibrated when Mashiach will come. Which actually fits beautifully with the words of the Zohar that says that what will be the accomplishment of Mashiach? Asa, he will come la asava to bring tzadikaya, the purely righteous, la tiyufta, into tshuva. So even tzadikim will have the virtue of balei tshuva. In other words, now you can either be one or the other. Either you're perfect, you have a perfect score, you always did everything right, or you had a checkered, colorful life, but you came around. When Mashiach will come, we can have the perfection of both. The Khan, at this point, enters the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, the fact that a person will reach both kinds of avodah, that means that what does his gestalt have to be described as? Masayim Amma, 200 Amma. Meya Amma, 100 Amma, which corresponds to avodah satzadikim. And Meya Amma, 100 Amma, which corresponds to avodah of Balei Tshuva. Each one is comprised of 10, 10 times 10, fully developed. That's Masayim Amma. L'das Rabbi Yehuda, according to the other approach of Rabbi Yehuda, lo mazais. He says shnei sugi ha'aveda, the two different kinds of aveda, ala koyma hashleima shebekol achas mehem, on the perfection of aveda tzadikim, which is comprised of 10 levels that are made of 10 levels, 100. Perfection of aveda sebalei tshuva, comprised of 10 levels, as they are inclusive of as another 100. He said this will all be experienced yismazgu yachad lichdei choyma achas. The person will not have two personalities. He will not have two different realities in his life in Avodas Hashem, but rather there'll be a new, enhanced, and elevated kind of person. A person who is at once a tzaddik and a baal tshuva. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry, neither do I. But when Mashiach will come, this will find out what this means. How you could be both at the same time. V'lachein koymasi ha-seifis shel adam, a person's final gestalt. In the end, what will the image be? The image will be mea amma, it will be 100 amma, but the 100 amma will be inclusive of twice 100 amma. The mea amma will include mea of avedis ha-tzadikim, the perfection in the area of pure and perfect service to Hashem, and perfection in the area of the slipping, tripping, but rebounding and experiencing remarkable transformation. And all that will come together in one. V'lachein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though really how tall is a person going to be when Mashiach comes? How tall are we going to walk?
100.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you still need to have two tagim. Why? Because the two tagim is still symbolic of the perfection twice mea. The perfection of Aved Satzadikim and the perfection of Aved Balei Tshuva. It's only that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's experienced in a confluence of both different dimensions coming together. Whereas according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, you're going to have two individual realities. There'll be two compartmentalized. There'll be the tzaddik part of me, and there'll be the baal tshuva part of me. And each one will represent a separate mea amma. So in truth, there's a machlekes that says mea amma or messiah amma. Yes, a machlekes. Balaturim says kaimim mios is indicative of the future height will be. However, kaimim mios means double, and kaimim mios includes two tagim because it refers actually to two gestalten or two fully developed realities and potentials. Mea amma twice, only according to Rabbi Yehuda, mea amma twice conflated into one. According to Rabbi Meir, Mea Amma, that's experienced individually. And that's why it's Messiah Amma. So the Eibishter should help. We should be able to walk tall. Prime Minister Netanyahu walked very tall yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish people are walking tall for a change. We should keep walking tall. And not just tall to the outside world, which by the way is important, but also tall inwardly. And that means we should have perfection of Avedis HaTzadikim, perfection in Avedis HaTshuva as much as possible in today's day and age. So we should be zeicha, we should merit the coming of Mashiach, and the real kaimimios, the real twice as tall, the real walking tall, v'mheira will be ameinu, amen.
Amen.